Good morning, everybody. This is Fred Meissner with the Weekly Fred Report conference call for June 17th, 2010. We had a great trip to New York. We're sorry it was a little harder getting back to people, but I think we pretty much got back to everybody we needed to get back to. We'll get right into the markets here. It's very interesting here, guys. We are seeing some improvement, actually, in the way we're trading. But at the same time, we did get up to our first short-term target on the spiders, which was 112. I do think we can go a little bit higher than that, but I think at this point in time, we have a little bit more risk here. And what I would do if I were looking to buy stocks is either look to buy some stuff when we're down. And ideally, let's see if we can go through 114. If we can't, this market is probably going to pull back down at least to the lows again of this little consolidation. And I'm still thinking possibly break those lows. So in terms of what we're actually doing and how we're trading, right now we're kind of in no man's land on stocks. We hit our first objective. We're sort of trading around. The good news is we haven't had any bullion yeehaw up open followed by sell-off, which usually marks the top. And we're seeing, you know, some stock charts and things that look pretty decent in terms of the way we're trading. But by the same token, you know, we're still a little bit weaker on the QQQQ, for example, than I would like to see, but not much. We got to 47.18 or so this morning. Let's sort of watch this thing back and fill. We're seeing some moving averages crossover, which is good. The stochastics on the daily stuff are overbought, and so is breadth. But my guess is, I mean, what we're going to have to do is just see how we react to this short-term overbought condition. And we'll sort of, you know, at this point, defense is the best offense. But if we do get a little bit of a pullback and it holds well, we may change our opinion and become a little bit more bullish short-term. In terms of the bond market, I'm watching this TLT and I'm truly amazed in some respects that it has held the 96 area. I've been sort of thinking this thing was going to head right back to 91, 92. We have held the 96 area, but I'm still looking at negative indicator configurations and such, and I still think that the LQD, the corporate bonds, are trading much, much better than the treasuries right now, and that's where our capital gains opportunities lie in bonds. I'm not looking for real big rise in rates here. I'm just thinking that we've got a little bit more potential in corporate bonds. And actually, the interesting thing is if sovereign debt fears and country debt fears really do start to take hold here again, not sure they will, but if they do, high-grade corporate bonds may actually do better because, after all, they're backed by corporations and not by taxpayers around the world. So we're sort of interested here in that corporate bond index and some of these corporate bonds. Gold is trading very well. We're still looking for 125 or so on the GLD. We're very close to breaking out to new highs as of this morning, and this market continues to trade well and is positive. The last stock on our trading list right now is a gold stock, AUY, and we're going to stick with that stock for now, and we're using a target of 1140, I think, on that to get rid of the stock. We think we will see that. Gold remains one of our favorite long-term areas of investment. We do think that the result of all of these machinations by the government is going to be more inflationary than deflationary. Looking at the petroleum complex, crude oil is above 35 on the USO, but not by much. The next resistance is 36. We are seeing an improved tone in there. That does look very, very interesting to us, and oddly enough, the gas market looks just fabulous. This natural gas looks like it's on its way to our first target of 930 to 940 and possibly higher. So we're very, very interested in natural gas as a play here. Some of the stocks that work in natural gas, call me with those, but, you know, for example, Chesapeake, which has some gas exposure to it, is looking much better overall. In terms of individual stock questions, we've had some questions on some of the hotter stocks out there. Netflix, for example, which is up in the 125, 126 area. We've been looking for 127, 128 on that. I do not think I would chase that stock here. I would use a stop on this of 118, especially if the market runs into trouble here. Apple is up, but has been surprisingly weak until just recently. It did open way up today. There are a fair amount of options at 270 that could expire on this. We note that the stock is around 270. Concern to us on Apple would be a move below 259. If Apple moves below 259, I think the stock can head to 238 to 231. So I'd be a little bit careful with that one. Baidu, B-I-D-U, trading a little bit weaker than we would have thought, but it did hit our short-term target of 76. Where we could see 78 on this, but this is one at this point. We've got a negative indicator configuration on it. I don't think I would play this one. We had a number of questions on the banks, which actually did start to perk up a little bit. Bank of America has got resistance between 16 and 1650. It's probably going to stop at 1650 for now. Long term, it's a range from like 15 area to say 1850, 19 area. And it's not a bad looking stock, but we continue to like the looks of some of the regional banks better. We're taking a look here at Regions Financial, RF, which is cheaper and has been trading a little bit better of late. A move above 750 on that stock would target a move at the 870 to 9 area. I'm not sure if it's going to do it, but it sure could. My favorite bank, which we had taken off of our list but we're looking to add back on when we get a market all clear, is BB&T. That looks like a 27.5, 28 to 34, 35 range. We really like the yield on that stock as well. But right now, we're seeing a little bit of reaction here. Now, remember, it's options expiration on Friday. There's an excellent chance that some of these stocks have closed right around strike prices. That's always a concern. And we note that BB&T is right around 30. But if we have the right setup and or if you guys see the stock move back down towards, say, 28.80 to 28, it's probably worth, if you need to own some bank stocks, picking up a little bit of this one. We've had some questions on the steel, Steel Dynamics in particular. Very weak, a little bit of support in the 12 to 13 area. We really need to see this stock trade above 15.50 to like it. It rallied to 15 a couple different times and is starting to sell off. We're just not wild about it here. U.S. Steel, a fair amount of support at 40. We had a nice rally in the stock up towards 46, 47. The problem is the resistance between 47.50 and $50 is pretty intense, and so we're not real excited about that one. And with that, those are all the stock questions I had. I will turn the call over to Jeff Garbaz for a minute, and we'll have some questions from Jeff.
Hey, Fred, thanks. How you doing?
Fine, Jeff. How are you this morning?
Good, good. Hey, Fred, back in the spring, one of your all-clear signals for the market was getting the IWM back above $70, and clearly now it's below that level. Can you revisit that and give us kind of like your updated thoughts on that?
Sure. Above $70 on the IWM pretty much put it above the trend lines for the big decline of the top end of the range of the big decline that started in 2008. The good news on this IWM is the trend line that comes in around 64 to give us support from those 2008 lows, we're above that, whereas on the S&P, we're below that. In other words, that 64 area on the IWM corresponds to the 120 area on the spider, which is the main resistance. So we are above that that area, which is what we should do if this is still a bull market. The mid-cap index is about the same. On the mid-cap, that would be staying above 700, for example. And so, Jeff, I think what this is saying is this correction is still a correction in a bull, this correction that we've had. The indexes that continue to outperform are the ones that should lead coming out of a recession, and what we've been thinking is that this is nothing more than a correction in an ongoing bull. You know, nothing grows, trees don't grow straight to the sky, you always hear. The economy is not going to post really strong numbers every single quarter for the remainder of this attempted expansion. And what I do like to see here is the fact that as soon as the economy slows a little bit, everyone says we're going to have a double-dip recession, this has all been phony, and blah, 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 and we're doomed. So by and large, above 70, again, on the IWM, I would take as a real all-clear for the market. Basically, when I go through a trend area, I like to give a couple of percentage points or so above that trend line so that the market can actually go through and have less chance of having a false breakdown.
Excellent. Next question for you is on Apple. I saw this morning, I think someone put out a $360 price target based on kind of fundamentals. How do you look at a stock when it's kind of making all-time highs like this thing is and figure out where it can go to for the upside? Is there anything that you can look at that kind of gives you a clue that, like, that $360 target is doable? Or what are your thoughts on that? When the stock's making an all-time high, how do you kind of come to your conclusions about where the stock can go to?
Jeff, this is going to sound really sort of pathetic. It's sort of a fingers and toes method. But what I do is I go back and I note the fact that the stock is double-topping at today's highs. I take the width of that between the two highs, today's high and yesterday's high, and I sort of use a price objective by standing that width on its end and seeing how high that can go. And then what I like to do is look around and see if there's some fundamental price targets in that area. Looking at this, I'd have to get it on a piece of paper and actually physically do it, but I don't see 360 as being a huge problem for this, assuming that the stock continues to go up today and make new highs. If we don't and we come back down and break below 231, that would be the concern. You know, Apple remains one of my favorite stocks. The question really is, where do you get it? And I'm going to try to get it, you know, on a pullback here, because I still think we have a chance of a market pullback.
Fantastic. Next question, moving on, is on transports. What are your thoughts on the IYT here?
The first thing to note is that the IYT is still basically above that breakdown point and is outperforming the S&Ps and the S&Ps and the Dow. So that, I think, is very, very positive. You know, for those of you who study and know something about Dow theory, Dow theory says that the Dow industrials and the transport to confirm each other. But I like to see the transports leading all the time on something like that. And so for me, the fact that the transports are leading is a positive and not a negative. The second thing is we need to get the transport, the IYT, back above 90 and then above 95 to say this is a bull that's really going to continue. Looking at the weekly stochastics, we have not gotten down in the buy area for a long time, and what I've been sort of looking at here is the daily stochastics getting overbought, which we now are, turning down and knocking those weekly stochastics below and above 20. If that does happen, I think we're ready to go. And again, I reiterate for those of you who've been sort of watching me be a little bit cautious and negative here, I'm pretty bullish on the end of the year. I think we're going to be higher than this, and I think the market looks fine. I just want to see us have a little bit more chop, get a little bit more of an indicator reload so that we can have a really good move towards the end of the year.
Fred, follow-up question to the transports before I kind of open it up to people for other questions. Take a look at Federal Express and UPS, which are in the IYT. And FedEx obviously hit their numbers, but then they kind of guided a little lower and said costs are going to hit them. That chart, you know, made a top and is really struggling.
Yeah, it still looks down, Jeff.
You what?
It still does look down.
Yeah.
And the question is, can we make a nice double bottom down here around the 76 area or not? To hold the market. What I've noticed is when you have a group of stocks in an ETF, some do better and some do worse, and you also see a situation where more and more fall off. FedEx certainly looks like it's having a little bit of trouble here. UPS actually looks much better, and to my way of thinking, FedEx is probably going to be a lagger and UPS is probably going to be a leader. What's really looking pretty good in the transport section, some of the truckers are looking good, and, of course, the airlines have been looking really, really good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to next ask you. So obviously, truckers, rails, and airlines look pretty decent. Are there any favorite airline stocks that you like right now?
You know, one of my favorites has been Continental, and, of course, they're involved in merger activity. The other one that is surprisingly good, and it's actually a nice little airline to fly, is Alaska Airlines, ALK. That's a beautiful uptrend. It just broke out again to new highs, and this has been a real, and the intermediate term, long-term charts all look very, very good. Alaska Airlines is probably my favorite here, and in terms of the airlines.
Great. So at this point, I'll open up the call for any questions. Remember to hit *6 to unmute yourself for any questions. Any questions for Fred?
Michael, calling in, Fred.
Hey, Michael, how are you this morning?
Okay. Fred, Investor's Business Daily had an article today that talked about the number of stocks with new highs versus lows, and it was a bullish pattern. How much weight do you give to those ratios?
A fair amount of weight. The new highs, new lows is one of my favorite indicators, and we have been seeing a little bit of contraction in new lows. We haven't seen a big expansion in new highs, which is what you see when the market's really getting ready to go. But what's interesting about that, Michael, is when portfolio managers at mutual funds that have to be fully invested or 80% invested are positive on the market, they have a tendency to be more speculative. So what you'll see is less stocks in the big indexes like the Dow and S&P being bought and more stocks outside of those indexes being bought. So what you'll see is expansion in new highs, new lows in the Russell indexes, which have more stocks doing a little bit better. That's what we saw on the way up. Conversely, when these guys start to get real, real bearish, they have a tendency to buy Dow stocks and S&P 500 stocks and sell the other ones. So what you'll see is the S&P and the Dow will sort of sit up there and trade well. You don't see a lot of index give up, but you'll see the advanced decline line start to go down and the amount of new lows expand as they sell their more speculative issues. So this is very definitely a plus. This is one of the things we're looking for to say that this up move is resuming after this correction. So this is a plus, and I'm excited to see it.
Great. More questions for Fred?
Hey, Fred, this is Tom. How are you doing this morning?
Fine, Tom. How are you this morning?
Just great. Just want to ask you about Fastenal again, FAST.
Right. I was already punching it in as soon as I heard your voice. it's got a whole bunch of support in the 48 area, which we know. You actually had a very nice selling bar around 55.50. My guess is this stock is probably going to recover. It's a little bit overbought short term, Tom, but I think you could still see 55, say, before you get a little bit of correction, and I would be looking at this stock in the 50 to 51 area to buy it. If we were to get to 55 and turn back over and head back down to 50, that would be another push down in the weekly stochastic, and that might be enough to do it. It's a great pattern, though.
Great, thanks.
Fred, Albert.
Hey, Albert, how are you?
Good. SVM, Sam Victor Mary.
Sam Victor Mary. Not as healthy as some of the other stocks that in this area, but it looks decent as long as it stays above 680. 760 to 8 looks possible if gold can get a real run into July, which is what I think is going to happen. So I would be certainly happy holding this and looking for 760 to 8, say 790 to $8 on this.
And a second one, ANR.
ANR, Apple Nancy Robert.
Right.
This looks a little bit weak. It really blew through the February lows and is still trading below them. So unless this stock can get above 42, it's less attractive than some of the other names in this area. This is one I would probably try to avoid if I could.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions for Fred? Fred, I'll jump in with a follow-up question for you. You've been positive on gold. thoughts on updated thoughts on silver and where SLV could go to if GLD kind of really takes off here?
Sure. Looking at SLV, we're seeing a couple of things. First of all, the main thing is gold is at new highs and silver is not, which is very, very positive for the metals longer term. When silver starts to run, the metals move is usually over for a while. That said, looking at this SLV, I can see this thing going to 1950 to 21 or so without too much difficulty. An awful lot of support and great buying came in on this at 17. We like the looks of this.
Fantastic. Other question for you on another sector level. Thoughts on semis here?
The semis. Intel has been one that I sort of wish I'd gotten on my trading list down at 20 and did not. Looking at the SMH, resistance at 2880 is being tested even as we speak. There's layers of resistance actually between 2880 and 30. Looking at a couple of components, Intel, for example, looks a little tiny bit worse than the SMH, and normally that looks better on a big move. It seems to me that the semis are probably okay, but not absolutely fabulous.
So they've kind of like the market. They've had like a six-week correction, and they're coming back up here. What's the important level for them to clear, you know, to kind of give you the all-buy signal if they continue to advance here?
You know, I would really like to see these above 31 on this because they have sort of lagged overall given the market. And given, for example, just the technology ETF, the IYW that we follow. But given that, above 31 would target 34. If I were looking to buy a technology ETF, actually, Jeff, though, I got to tell you, I would be buying that IYW ETF as opposed to the SMH. It's just trading better, and it looks a little bit more sprightly.
What makes up the IYW? What's in there?
IYW has got a little bit of everything in it. One of the concerns, actually, Jeff, may be that it's fairly heavily weighted in Apple now. Apple is taking up some weightings in some indexes. But it's got semis, it's got box makers, it's got software in it, it's got everything in it. That's one of the reasons why I like it.
Great.
And it's definitely trading better. As long as this thing didn't even go below the breakdown point for 2008 on the retest, it didn't even get there, and it has not corrected enough that I think this is going to be one of the leading sectors on the way up when we start up again.
Fantastic. More questions for Fred?
Yeah, Fred, I got two stocks for you. IGTE, IGTE.
IGTE. That looks very, very nice. As long as that stays above 13, you've got a nice little breakout going here and a possible objective all the way. This could be a $15, $16 stock. I like this one. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And how about Bucyrus, B-U-C-Y?
B-U-C-Y. These are two names I've never looked at. This one is a little less attractive, but on a pullback to the 48 area, it's probably buyable. Momentum-wise, it's starting to turn up, and above 57.50, you could move this thing into the 62-63 area. It's just not as good as the other one, but it's okay on a pullback.
Okay, thanks.
More questions for Fred? Hey, Fred, I'll go with one more before we kind of wrap up here. Another stock that trades kind of in sync with BUCY is JOYG. Thoughts on that?
Certainly. That's J-O as in Oscar?
Yep, Joy G.
Joy G, okay. That actually looks a little bit better than the BUCY, Jeff. And the reason I say that is because this stock on the pullback held above the January-February 2010 lows and looks like it could break out much more quickly. Indeed, if this thing gets above 59, you're probably going to get it to 63. This is a better-looking name in that area.
Fantastic.
Hello, Fred?
More questions for Fred?
Fred?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Butch. How about Gentiva?
What's the symbol, Butch?
GTIV is in Victor. GTIV.
V is in Victor. Held above the January lows. Butch had actually filled that gap pretty well down there at 25 after the big gap up. Probably consolidation and then a rally to 29 to 30 without too much trouble. This one actually has got positive momentum now. It looks okay. Your main support is 25.20. I'd be leery of the stock if it didn't hold that.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Any more questions for Fred? Hey, Fred, before we wrap up, quick question for you on your moving averages and the broader market, so on the S&P 500, how do those moving averages look to you now?
They are looking much better. We've actually crossed on the daily and are and really have a daily buy signal on those now. Okay. What we need to see is for that daily buy signal to stay in effect if the stochastic pulls down, because the stochastic at 92.90 suggests that we're going to see that daily stochastic come down at least a little bit. Okay. My concern here is, since we are still under where I thought we could be on the maximum, that on the daily stochastic pull down, that we break 105 on the spiders and just go straight down into the 90 area. That's the risk.
Clearly, you're saying that it's on a daily basis, and when you go look weekly, you're still negative, correct?
Yes, they're still negative weekly, but that's fairly normal. That can happen. It's much more positive in some ways than it was. It's just, Jeff, I don't know if you'll, without going into a huge, long explanation, when you see these moving averages cross and price really starts to run, that's much more bullish than when the moving averages cross and price kind of sits here. Now, we've done, if you go back and compare this to February, March, we've crossed. We should start to really blast off here in probably no more than 4 or 5 days. If we don't, there's an excellent chance that this thing is going to get really badly hit again.
And then that's where you come in with your ultimate buying opportunity.
And that's where we come in with the ultimate buying opportunity. The reason I'm looking for that ultimate buying opportunity is because of the monthly indicators coming down a little bit more. One thing also to note, however, as opposed to the bottom in 0203, is on this first push up after the bottom, our moving averages went through much more quickly. So actually this is a more bullish configuration than we had in 0203. It's just a question of how it resolves.
Great. Any more questions for Fred before we finish up here? Okay, with that, Fred, I will turn it back over to you.
Okay. Guys, I want to thank everyone for participating. We will see you next week, and this will conclude the Fred Report conference call for June 17th, 2010.